Good afternoon, this is I Can Hear the Grass Grow, Sonic Horticulture on Resonance FM. I'm Mark Aitken, and I am expecting a guest here tonight, but I think there's been an incident on the Northern Line, so she's not here yet. I was ill the week before last, and the studio was down for maintenance, so a lot of unwell things around here, and I guess that's appropriate for tonight, because this is all about sound healing. So what I've done, I'm trying to improvise here because I don't know anything about the subject of sound healing, which I guess is why you have a guest in to come and tell you about it. This woman's name is Ashira Hart. Hopefully she turns up, but I'm on her website here, and I'm looking at some stuff, and I've got to say, I'm finding it hard to understand. But let's give it a go. This is literally just coming off her website. Since sound is an amazing tool for helping the body get back in tune on every level. Oh, and here she has just walked through the door. Very good timing. Okay, if you just sit down there, Ashira, you can tell this is a live show with all the warts. And on that one there, please. On the first mic, yeah. Okay, now I think Ashira's just come in from New Malden. If you get nice and close to the mic.
Hi there, everyone. I'm so sorry I'm late. Trains, what to do?
Yeah, trains and not knowing when they come and go. Yeah. Okay, but you got here?
I got here. Time? That's the main thing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, just in time, because I was looking at your website and I didn't want to be reading the whole thing. I was trying to fathom what it's about, really. So,
yeah.
You can tell us now.
Okay, great. Well, my name's Ashira Hart, and I'm really passionate about sound being a great tool to help the body get back in tune. I work with frequencies which are based on the blueprint of the body. They're based on the bones in the hand, all the way through the body, right down to the DNA. So it's basically like a mathematical sonic code that you can give to the body. And if you think about where we are on the planet right now, we're running very, very fast. And we're running ahead of ourselves maybe a little bit in some ways, quite ungrounded and quite stressed. And there's a lot of illness and a lot of imbalance. And that has a knock-on effect to how we are with ourselves, our diet, our posture, our relationships with each other, and indeed our relationship with the planet. And on a deeper level, our connection to the divine, whatever that means to someone else, you know, in terms of feeling loved, feeling... cherished on a deeper level. And the frequencies are really a great key to help us retune, recalibrate, so that we can get in tune with our bodies, know what's right, what feels good. And from that place, when we're in harmony with ourselves, then we can make different choices, perhaps, you know, which are more balanced, more harmonious. And that I think that can only be a good thing.
So are these frequencies that we can hear, like music, or they?
Yes, absolutely. I work with a variety of different instruments, predominantly with tuning forks, because they can be very accurately tuned. And when you give a therapy, for example, but using the tuning forks, you would put one frequency to one ear, one frequency to another ear, to the other ear, and there's a difference of 111. And this has already been used in therapies.
111 what?
Okay, great, thank you. 111 hertz.
Okay.
Or cycles per second. Mm-hmm. And
is that what the ringing of the tuning fork? The
yes,
cycles of the ringing?
Yes, it's the difference between the two numbers. You'd mm-hmm. have one frequency, say, for at 174 hertz, and the other one would be 285 hertz. And so there'd be a difference of 111. And this is a very important frequency, actually, because the ancients have venerated this frequency for a long time. If you take somewhere like Newgrange in Ireland, it's a sound chamber just south of Dublin, and it vibrates between 110 and 112 hertz. Also, the Hypogeum in Malta, which is an underground chamber which has recently been found, that also vibrates at the same.
So when you say vibrates, if you go in there and you make a sound, the resonance of the sound vibrates at a particular speed?
There have been studies done by Princeton University and UCLA, and they found that the chamber vibrates predominantly at that frequency. Yeah, I don't know what the scientific instruments they've used to find that out, but that has been studied. A couple of studies, 2004 and
so. So it's sound that vibrates in the chamber. You're saying
it's a very low frequency. If mm-hmm. if you listen to it, you can just perceive it. I mean, we can hear from 20 hertz up.
Oh, it's there anyway.
It's there anyway.
So it's what is it? The sound of the earth.
Well, it's not the sound of the earth, but it's 111 is it benefits the body in two ways. Firstly, it helps the body really recalibrate the brain. What happens is, because we're very left brain at the moment, we're very in our heads and not so connected to our bodies, what it does is it causes a temporary shift back to the right brain, which is really helpful right now because it helps us access that more intuitive side, creative side. And from that place, you can also help the body really, from that inner awareness, if you like, you're able to really sense and let go of what might be stressful for the body. And other effects of 111 are also the ability to, it creates an endorphin release in the body. This is already used by therapies such as electrosteep, pioneered by the Russians in 1949 for insomnia. And then that went on to be developed into CES, which was for use for depression and self-esteem. And then more recently with Dr. Mae Patterson, she's used it in NET for drug addiction. And if you look at it on Google, for example, 111 hertz, you'll find it's actually in Germany called the heroin frequency, because it's very good for helping the body clear out heroin addiction rather than needing something like methadone. And Pete Townsend got off heroin using 111 hertz in 1983.
After all that noise he made all those years. So it's kind of the antithesis of what... Because sound is often used as a means to torture people.
It is.
Most recently, well, I'm sure it's going on as we speak in some hole somewhere, but I think it was publicised a lot during the Iraq invasion and what... American and British soldiers were doing to Iraqis.
Right.
And apparently just playing some heavy metal music or something all night, all day, just constantly at full whack, you know, just driving people crazy.
I wasn't actually aware of that, but that's interesting because Masaru Emoto, who's a Japanese scientist, he's done study with water. And of course, the body's predominantly water, 70%. And they found that with heavy metal music, it certainly it disrupts the geometric structure of water, which is a hexagonal matrix, you know, so a Star of David. And it basically, it disrupts it. It's dissonant for the body, so it's dangerous.
I think that's the general idea. Just not 24 hours a day, though.
No, exactly. And it makes you wonder. They even actually, I found an app on the iTunes store, and it's called Stealth, and it's designed for shopkeepers to be able to get rid of teenagers out of their shop.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Yeah, and it's really...
Or mosquito or something, I've also heard it called.
There's the bug spray, but that's actually forgetting, that mimics the dragonfly wing pattern. So that's actually, I've got that on my phone. It's a good insect repellent, but it runs your battery down. But
it's a sound that mimics dragonfly wings.
Yes. And they
I didn't know they made a sound. I suppose they do.
Yes, they and they also use it for an agriculture, for fire ants and that kind of thing. You use the sonic generator to actually get rid of fire ants, because obviously they're very painful if you get attacked by them. But yeah, there are many different.
Because I think that there's some EU Human Rights Commission was trying to ban the mosquito sound to keep teenagers out of hanging around in shops.
Oh, yeah, that's really good news.
Well, because it's illegal. Yeah.
Well, I think it's awful.
Because nobody's asking permission.
Exactly.
Nobody's aware of it.
Yeah.
But in the same way, like in my tube station where I live in Brixton, they play classical music, and
that's nice.
Something to do with keeping teenagers away from sort of loitering and hanging around.
Mm-hmm.
But that's out in the open, so
right.
I guess you can't make that illegal. But I think when it's done by stealth.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
because it might provoke some kind of paranoia or.
Well, yes.
Or
who's to know?
Yeah.
I mean, there are many different uses of negative uses of sound out there that most people aren't aware of, and I could talk for hours about that. But I'd rather speak about the positive uses.
Yeah. Okay, so my knowledge is more on the negative side. But so on the positive side, so are these frequencies, do they feature in music as we know it? Because obviously a lot of music that we listen to does involve pleasure, does involve, I guess, stimulating your endorphins to mm-hmm. a certain extent. It must involve some sort of chemical release. I don't know how these things are measured, but... certainly involves pleasure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great question. Thanks, Mark. When you think about music that's currently that we listen to, it's benefiting us in many different ways. We want to dance, or we like the lyrics, and emotionally it may touch us. So it's, you know, it's helping us feel maybe uplifted, or helping us resonate with, you know, some level of catharsis or emotional release. But when you look at it, actually, what it's doing to the body, if you say, for example, take that music and you put it through an oscilloscope, which is a scientific instrument, so it's a way of showing what that's doing, you will find that it will create a geometry like the frequencies. But what's different about the solfeggio, or the zobe, as I call it with my partners in the States, is that with...
This is your specific sound for healing.
Yes.
Are we going to hear some of this in a moment?
Yes, we are. Great. Yes, I bought a CD for you for you to play. So, so what's different about the solfeggio is that it basically creates a spin in the cells. And what's happening with that is, if you think about the DNA spins. And that, you can basically equate the spin to life force.
The DNA spins.
Yeah, our DNA, it spins. It's a helix, you know, a double helix, so, and it actually spins.
It's not just drawn like that. It actually is mobile all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at, there's, I think it's Gurdjieff, who's a Russian scientist. He's looked at the DNA, and he's found that the DNA is basically a light receptor, because our body is very much based on light, and that's really where we're moving to on the planet. If you look at, say, for example, vegetables under the under Kalian photography, you'll find that it has a light field. And indeed, I've been working with a biophysicist who's pioneered something called EFI Photon Pro, which is a biofield scanning device. So, for example, if I took a photo of you against a white background and then I put it through this software, what it will do is it will show me the surrounding biofield, and also within the body what's actually going on. So it'll actually show up areas of congestion or imbalance. And it's been amazing, because he's actually looked at... the different effects of this using the solfeggio frequencies, and he said he's never seen such a shift in someone's body in such a short space of time. So in just 1 hour, the body can actually rebalance and really help clear out congestion, and it also activates the pineal, which is our third eye. So it's actually very beneficial.
Well, the pineal eye. Well, let's hear a bit more about that in a moment. But what track would you like me to play? Let's have a listen.
Yeah, track one.
Track one. Okay.
So this is off a double audio called The Unity Codes, available on my website.
Incidentally, I'm told here that if you close your eyes and just tune in, then we'll see what happens. Mind, I'm just going to leave that running underneath.
Okay.
So, I don't know what listeners were making of that. It reminded me of certain things. You can definitely hear the tuning fork in there and waves, and there's the sort of ting of the tuning fork being hit on something. Why the waves and the tuning fork?
Okay, great question. Thank you. When I created the audio, what I wanted to do was I wanted to copy as faithfully as possible an actual sound healing session. So if someone came to see me, as I said, I'd put one tuning fork to one ear, one to the other, and then cross them over. So there's a crossing over of the frequencies. This helps with the hemispheric rebalancing. And it, because you've got the nature of the, the natural ocean waves in the background, because we're running very fast, it really helps the body just drop into a whole other level of relaxation. And it helps people get in tune more with their breath and just really let go of their day. So it's very valuable as a 20-minute quick tune-in that, if someone's, say, for example, working in the office and, they want to arrive really focused and grounded and productive for their day, then they can just have a quick 20-minute tune in on the way into work, or indeed during the lunch hour, and they still got time for lunch.
I mean, it reminds me, especially the tuning fork, reminds me of certain music I'm familiar with, or sounds. I don't know if music's the right term, really, but it gets put under that. Have you heard of a French musician called Eliane Radigue?
No, who's that?
She's called an avant-garde musician, whatever that might be. But she started in the late 60s, famously using an ARP synthesizer, and just producing very long-form pieces of music that sounded a little bit like the tuning fork in the sense that it's a sort of a long bending frequency.
Yeah.
And then, to my mind anyway, I'm not a musician, but listening to it, it seemed like she would then maybe add at times a very high frequency. But it was all inspired and influenced by Tibetan ringing bowls.
Oh, yes.
And she became very interested in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, and visited Tibet a lot. And she's pretty much ploughed that furrow for the last 40 years or something. And she was here in the summer, the summer just passed, and they played various recordings of her music in a church near Bank, and I think at some other venue. But they're fantastic. I mean, very, very meditative type music. And I've actually been listening to it a lot while I've been working, because I find it very hard to find the right music to work to.
Okay, yes. That sounds really interesting, yeah.
But she also had a whole sort of philosophy. And there's also another musician called Ele, E-L-E-H, who deals with sub-bass tones. Mm. So if you put, like, vibration, so if you put it on, you're often unaware there's any sound going on, but you feel it as much as you hear it. Mm. Or sometimes you just feel it. And I remember once last year I was decorating my bedroom while it was on. And while I was painting the walls, depending on which part of the room I was in, the sound became louder or softer. Because of the vibrations it's almost like they were gathering in the corners.
It's a bit like the temples in Egypt that happens, or the really? Taj Mahal.
You can My bedroom is like a temple in Egypt.
Well, because you know, so often, you know, if you make a sound in the pyramid, and then you wait a few minutes, that's the Great Pyramid. You know, then it'll actually sing back to you, and the same is true of the Taj Mahal. You know, you sing in front of you, and then it'll come all the way back around.
It's like the Whispering Wall at St. Paul's.
That's right. Very lovely to have that acoustic chamber. Yeah, I mean, sound's profound, and you know, we are sound, we are vibration. Everything within us and outside us is vibration, so actually having beneficial balancing frequencies, I think, is really great to have at this time.
So these frequencies, are they mimicking something already going on in our bodies? Is this what's happening?
Well, okay, so if you want to look more deeply into the maths of it, say for example, you look at the prime number cross. Now, the prime number cross is the basis of all crosses on the planet, whether you look at the Maltese cross or the Templar cross or the Celtic cross.
I see that you've got on the inside of your CD here.
That's
we've got the prime number cross.
Yes, and Dr. Peter Plichter wrote about it in God's Secret Formula. And then in 2006, I was sitting with my ex-partner, I actually found the frequencies embedded in the prime number cross. And if that's the basis of all life, as he revealed in his book, you've also had the prime number cross as a crop circle, which had appeared this year on the 21st of June. And funnily enough, that was the same day I actually launched a mobile phone ringtone. So if anyone wants a free ringtone for their phone, iPhone, they can actually download that from the website.
What, and it sounds a bit like one of these frequencies going on behind us here?
It's basically a journey through the frequencies. It's up through the pairs, and then it grounds that energy. So it's helping shift the body, creating raising the vibe wherever you are. And it's transformed my experience, because when my phone rings, normally I get a little bit, oh, I've got to answer the phone.
Yeah, no, I find it, most of the time my phone is on silent nowadays.
Right.
I don't like the interruption.
No, but now when my phone rings, it's more like, that'll be the phone. And that's quite nice,
it won't last.
Just on a personal level.
But actually, that's given me an idea. I wouldn't mind changing my ringtone to just one single frequency that goes on for a period of time.
Well, it's a journey. It's a journey through. So it's about 20 seconds long. It's called the Unity Tone, if anyone's interested.
The Unity Tone. Is it on your website?
Yeah, it's on the website, ashiraheart.net.
Which I should say, ashiraheart.net.
Yeah, and that's...
Before I forget, Ashira, we should go in a little bit... because my friend John Ecott, who has been on the show, one of his students got in touch with me, Nick.
That's right, Nick. Yes, he's doing a dissertation on the solfeggio, 10,000 words.
Right. So yeah. he's come upon you doing his dissertation and interviewed you, I suppose, and yeah.
Well, that's right. We've had a few phone calls, and indeed he's come to one of the Sonic Enchantment sound baths, and he's coming for dinner next week, and I'm giving him a lot of information because he was struggling a little bit. There's a lot of disinformation online about the solfeggio, and a lot of and as a result, you know, some confusion. So I'm hoping that I can help him with that, to go more deeply into the maths and the science. So he's got plenty of info for his dissertation.
I mean, to my mind, it strikes me a little bit like the sonic equivalent of meditation or meditation practice. And at first hearing or sighting, it's very straightforward. It's very simple. It's very easy to grasp. I mean,
yes.
It seems obvious that it's a relaxing sound. It seems obvious that it's something that you contemplate,
yes,
and you stop for.
Yes.
Unlike, you know, something that drives you forward and, it's good for kind of driving your car or your bike fast around town or something. This is something you pause for reflection.
Yes.
And then it's, from that point, you could make it extremely complicated.
I could certainly get there.
And load it up with another couple of programs, I feel. Mm. But just on a simple level, it's very, I mean, that's what I like about it. It's very accessible.
Yes.
It just gets you straight away. So you don't have to know anything.
No.
Beforehand, you just hear it and you think, oh, okay, that's doing something to me.
Yeah, and yeah. That's what I love, because sound, it can bypass the mind, because when the mind's a bit sceptical and you go, well, what's that? You know, and it's healthy to be sceptical. But when the body just goes, oh, wow, that actually feels great, then the mind goes, oh, all right, then, you know, I'll go along with it because I'm actually feeling good. So that's why I love it, because when we doubt, you know, in these times of change, it's great to have something that can actually help all the craziness out there and just help us tune into our real nature, because I think a lot of us are very stressed and very ungrounded, and yeah, it's good to have something that we can rely on.
I also think it's just good to sit down and listen to something and do nothing else.
Yes. I mean, not multitask and do
well. This music always being, not always, but so often, a background thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Something you put on while you're doing something else. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I mean, let's not be too judgmental, but it's, you know, sometimes it's best to just appreciate something for what it is. You know, I mean, that's one thing I like about reading, is that you can't really do much else when you're reading. You have to just read.
Yes, I do like reading.
And you know, maybe that's one of the reasons why it's I don't know if it's a fading preoccupation, but it seems to be losing the battle with all the flickering images passing in front of us all the time.
Yes,
you know,
there's a lot
all
of
the distractions.
Yeah, we feel quite overloaded. I think it's challenging times. Yeah.
So so before we go, I'll play out a bit with a little bit of this. We've got about a minute, less than a minute. People can go to your website. They can get hold of these CDs.
Yes.
They can. They probably can't come around for dinner, but they can. do you hold sort of workshops, sessions?
I do workshops. We've got a few more sound baths. Sonic Enchantment. You can find us on Facebook.
A sound bath.
A sound bath. So you get
sounds
an opportunity.
Great. It just sounds fantastic.
So just bathe in sound and check us out on Facebook. And Ashira Hart is ASHERA Hart, HART.net.
Okay, Ashira, we'll have to have you back sometime.
I'd love that.
That was very interesting.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.